D. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and folks, boy, I am exhausted. Between this new NCAA basketball algorithm I've been working on, okay, it has to do with the first derivative of the win-loss trend line, the relative humidity in said bracketed team's location, the relative fierceness of their mascot, it's a sliding scale, and the number of team members with the letter X in their name. I shouldn't give away my secrets. What am I doing? It's a work in progress. That's all I'm going to say. Plus, the newest news about Voyager 1 finally leaving the solar system. I mean, come on, people, how cool is that? Well, with all that going on, I really haven't had much time to work at all. All right, we know that's not true. But folks, I do have to get back to this NCAA bracket algorithm. I'm going to win the EE Journal pool this year. I'm putting it out there. I'm gonna win, guys, this time. My FPGA-based supercomputer is cranking the numbers as we speak. So let's get started. This week, our theme is chip design. Shocking, I know. My guest is Frank Schurmeister from Cadence Design Systems, and we're going to get down to some serious top-to-bottom design business. From that tiny spark of a thought in the back of your brain, hey, this might even be possible, to those final birth pangs of verification. Hey, this might even work. So, without further ado. My guest today is Frank Schurmeister, Senior Director, Product Marketing, System and Software Realization Group at Cadence. Thank you so much for joining me today, Frank.
My pleasure.
So, Frank, where do you think chip design is heading, and what do you think a chip will look like in, say, 2015?
Well, if you look into the different forecasts from market analysts, then a couple of components will really stick out in 2015. You'll have more than 110 IP blocks.
Wow. Okay.
You have a lot of reuse. About 60% or more of the development effort chip-related will be in software. You have multiple cores. We have been hearing about multi-core design for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then those subsystems will have software where the software is distributed across the cores. You have to deal with low power.
Of course.
You have clustering around specific applications like networking, application processors for wireless, and so forth. And then, not to forget, a lot of mixed signal content. So
yeah.
Dealing with a chip in its system environment requires mixed signal interfaces, and even the software is more and more interacting with the mixed signal world to interface to the outside environment.
True, okay.
And as a result of that, if we go into what chip design is heading toward, the whole SoC verification, the verification of the SoC within the system, in the context of the software running on those devices, will really become even more the critical path of the project than it is already today.
Mm-hmm.
So verification complexity, making sure that the chip meets functionality at the right price points and with the right functionality to validate and verify all that will be very critical and difficult.
That makes sense. So Frank, tell me about the growing amount of software in today's SoCs.
Well, it has become the long pole for development already today because mm-hmm. without the software, you can actually not go into production for the chip. So
true.
A pure serial development,
mm-hmm.
as it was done in the past, is no longer possible. And people are trying to achieve what we refer to as a shift to the left, meaning what was in the past a serial flow. We want to get more and more of the software development and the software verification in the context of hardware to the earlier stages of the project, hence the push to the left.
Right. So Frank, tell me about the emergence and importance of software-driven verification.
Well, that's a really key topic which has changed over the last years and is becoming more and more important going forward, where software is not only the defining functionality of the actual chip, meaning the software we see when operating our apps, hopefully not texting in the car, but
right.
all the apps on our phone and on our developments. But then software also becomes part of the verification process, not only in the context of the software being the functionality which the user sees, and that needs to be verified, but also software, because you have all these processors in your design already,
mm-hmm.
and it's very easy to put in new microcontrollers for testing purposes. Software is a very flexible environment to add tests and to reuse those tests throughout the flow. You can start very early when you have a virtual platform with starting some of the test scenarios, and then replicate and reuse all those tests in software all the way through emulation, FPGA-based prototyping, and even at the end, post-silicon validation. Again, the left shift being mm-hmm. very important, that the software you can now reuse those tests is started very early in the design process.
That makes sense. So tell us what processes will change the most, do you think? System level decision making, verification, implementation?
Well, all of them will change at the end of the day. But if you look into the standard developments which happened over the past decades in chip and system design, we always moved up to the next level of abstraction at one point.
Uh-huh.
So in the case we are today, people are moving towards the transaction level. So you start moving up in abstraction, then you verify at that level. That's mm-hmm. what transaction-based simulation is all about. And we see a lot of hybrids today between RTL and transaction level.
Yeah.
Then you automate the implementation from there. That's where high-level synthesis mm-hmm. comes in, basically doing crack by construction from the higher-level representation. And then you typically need equivalence checking to make sure that what has been implemented is actually correctly reflecting what was intended at the abstraction level upwards. So all these processes are changing and moving upwards, where the system level decision making is done based on transaction level models.
Mm-hmm.
For some aspects, the complexity has grown so much that you still need to make your decisions at the RTL level. That's especially true for things like the interconnect.
Mm. It's
simply too complex to abstract to the transaction level today.
Right.
And then the processes of implementation and verification, this whole notion of TLM design leading mm-hmm. into high-level synthesis and TLM verification, all in the context of software for the verification part, mm-hmm. those things will really change going forward.
So, Frank, what do you think will be the most essential development tools?
Well, the most essential piece in the world I live in, which is the front end of chip design,
uh-huh.
is really the ability to bring hardware and software development together.
Right.
And that's not so much trying to find this super engineer who can do mm-hmm. everything, because
right.
those people simply exist only very seldomly.
True.
It's really more about bringing tools to the individual teams which allow them to use their perspective on the design. What I mean by that, it's kind of like having a house being your design
mm-hmm.
and then having different windows to look into the house. And the software developer has his perspective
mm-hmm.
where he looks through the tools he or she knows for debug. And the hardware developer has his perspective, which is the hardware debug, looking at signals, looking at transactions.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then they can sit down together in those tools to do the debug, the analysis, the verification together in case issues at the hardware-software interface occur.
Mm-hmm.
Other items are very important, looking at what we talked at the beginning about where chip design is heading.
Yeah.
If you have north of 100 IP blocks, just integrate them, and automating this integration, automating the verification of that will be a very important task. So all those items will become more predominant going forward.
That makes sense. So Frank, give us a general system design update. How are we progressing and how are we adopting things?
Well, it's exciting to see. I just blogged about this, about CDN Live this year. When I started transitioning from designing of hardware software systems to becoming a vendor and enabling all this, it was really 15 years ago, it was really not that far developed. Everybody was talking about ESL and
right.
system level design.
Mm-hmm.
What excites me is it's finally becoming real. So mm-hmm. we have real users doing real system design and showing results at events here like CDN Live, where you have companies presenting their results in doing early performance analysis, either using tools like our Interconnect Workbench or using tools like our Palladium to do analysis of more detailed memory controllers. You have people showing how they connect the different engines, how they connect the transaction level world mm-hmm. with the implementation world in Palladium. So it's really exciting to see that system level design and this whole notion of system to silicon verification are becoming real very rapidly, and we see the results everywhere here at our shows and at conferences.
Very cool. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Frank. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, yes. And one more thing before we get to this week's absolutely fantastic, brand new nerdy giveaway. EE Journal is conducting our annual survey about FPGA design tools, specifically Xilinx and Altera tools, and we would love your input. And hey, the best part is we're giving away 5 $50 Amazon.com gift certificates and one grand prize $250 gift certificate also to Amazon.com. So, check out the link below the player on this week's Fish Fry page on eejournal.com and let us know what you think. Make your voice count. And now, my co-nerds, I have a fabulous new nerdy giveaway to throw your way. You want this one, so listen up. I have a Freescale Freedom Development Board courtesy of our good friends at Mouser Electronics. The Freescale Freedom Development Platform is a small, low-power, cost-efficient evaluation and development system for quick application, prototyping, and demonstration based on the Kintis L series, the industry's first microcontrollers built on the ARM Cortex M0 Plus processor. The Freescale Freedom Development Platform combines an industry-standard form factor with a rich set of third-party expansion board options. This development board speeds development of a variety of applications, including small appliances, gaming accessories, those are cool, portable medical systems, audio systems, and more. This Freescale Freedom Development Platform allows you to leverage 32-bit capabilities, providing the scalability you need to expand future product lines. But this is good news, all at 8 and 16-bit price and power consumption levels. Well, and if you win this, the price level is free, and that's even better than the 8-bit pricing if you ask me. But anyway, if that wasn't enough to have you entering, the Freescale Freedom Development Platform is also form factor compatible with popular third-party hardware. It's designed to work with Arduino and Arduino-compatible boards, providing you the freedom to connect to a broader range of expansion boards to achieve even greater technological breakthroughs. And we all want those, right? That's where you come in, my friends. Bring on the technological breakthroughs and tell me about them, so you can be on Fish Fry. Anyway, if you want one of these awesome kits for your very own, listen closely, just post a comment on this week's Fish Fry page telling me that you want the kit. Easy as that. Go straight to eejournal.com, Fish Fry page, comment, bam, you're done. So get posting. And if you didn't know already, you should really check out EE Journal on Facebook at Facebook/EE Journal and on Twitter at EE Journal TFM. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or possibly the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums at eejournal.com. For the week of March 22nd, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.